The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Paul, he's Ronnie, and the Goodwin steam train rolls on. My puss has firmly been shut. For the first time since October 2021, we've won three league games in a row and are now 4 points above Ross County and only two behind St Johnstone. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, Livingston Review, the good, bad and the ugly, free weekend plans, the loan report, the women's team, the academy, live show, Who Am I, and On This Day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up on episode 191 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Hi, I'm Dave Bowman and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. You better be listening.
Welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with the can't follow his ain dad's directions, Paul McNichol. And is it frowned upon to pick two desserts instead of a starter, Ronnie Costello? Well, Paul, this is no bad. This is a lot easier now.
We can get used to this. Yes, we can. And I'm not on about two desserts instead of a starter. I'm on about back-to-back-to-back wins. That's what I'm talking about.
Could also get used to your dad giving you actual directions.
Well, no, the directions usually are actual directions, but the destination is different in people's perceptions. So we'll steer clear of them for him.
2 weeks ago, on the 8th of April at 5 p.m, we were bottom of the league, 5 points behind. We're now 10th, 4 points ahead. Jim Good wins. Am I right?
You're right.
Yes.
You're right.
I mean, it's the worst play in the world's going, and I hate it. I hate it when I hear it, but I'm going for it. It's three out of three. Amazing. It's, I mean, that stat alone, that 2 weeks ago, going into the Sunday game against Hibs, we're fearing the worst. We spoke about it at the time. Absolute fear and the pressure that the players must have been under. And imagine if Hibs had went ahead early on, what could that have done to the stands? What could have done to the fans? We could have crumbled. But it's been an unbelievable 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has. And I mean, the post-match comments from the manager, where he's like, "And dinna thank me for this. This is on the players." Well, yeah, that, like we said it last week, of course, like they are knocking their pan in like never before this season. But the effect that he's had on them and whatever he's doing on the training pitches Monday to Friday to get them to produce these performances and this effort, it's quite possibly solely down to him and his influence and impact that he's had since he came into the building.
Yeah, and I don't know what's happened to our social media, but they're having a right go at you, but Jim Goodwin shares and everything. I mean, I saw him the day shouting, "Get it right up you, McNichol."
Fine with that, because at least I'm just being honest. Like, there's a lot of guys that will say, "Oh, no, I never doubted it." A lot of people doubted the appointment of Jim Goodwin. If you're really honest with yourself, you will probably admit that. As I said last week, Ricky was in of them that was behind it. You maybe weren't a fully Ricky'd behind it, but you were like, I don't care about this. But the reason for that is because we all thought we were getting Levine back. Mm. We all thought we were getting Levine back. And then we got this guy who, on the face of it, had just come down the A90, tail between the legs, having kind of failed up the road, I suppose, if you will. And we were thinking, look, he couldn't get that team up there performing to anything like what they should be. And we were going to task him with trying to get these guys to perform to anything closer than they should be. But he's came in and he's done it. Like, he's proved whoever was not for that appointment, he's proved we're wrong. He's proved we're all wrong. And I'm so happy about it. So happy about it. Like, it's, as you say, like 2 weeks ago, we were sitting almost disconsolate, Rhonda. Like, we were 5 points adrift. We had Hibs at home. No, it's never going to be an easy game. I personally fancied we'd win that one somehow.
You did? You were confident on that the week before?
Yeah. But it was, but you've still got to go out and win it. Like, I've been confident before we games and we've been pumped.
Like, couldn't have said it away.
I don't want to go there. Know the day, Rondo. Know the day. But the, as you said, you also said, like, the pressure on the players that day must have been massive. It had to be massive because it went for me thinking, oh, I think we will win this game. Like, we had to win that game. We could not lose or drop any points in that game. And the pressure to go out there and put in a great performance and get the result on that day, and that has just led to another two, and we'll get on to the performance yesterday, but that's just led to another two victories on the spin. And like, we're still in the mire. Let's no kid ourselves on. Okay, we're 4 points off bottom, and of course we would have took anybody's hand off. Erms would have been yanked to sockets to get into this position, because me and you were discussing a couple of weeks ago, would you still tack being 2 points behind going into the split? Like, we're 4 points better off than the bottom team at the league, but we're still in it. Although we are now slowly but surely clawing another team back in that. Like, it did look like it was going to be a four-team race a good few weeks back, but that fourth team was Motherwell. St Johnson weren't even in anybody's thoughts, and then they've went on this hellish run. We've went on a good run. Kilmarnock have just won the odd game here and there. And it's just tightened things up an awful, awful lot. So every game, almost every game in this, the bottom six split, is going to have something riding on it. Almost every game. I can't wait.
Your tweet reply to one of United's tweets this week was, it's very, very easy to get behind this guy. In a short space of time, he's massively shut my puss, right? And we've had a bit of a laugh with it and everything. Why is it very, very easy to get behind Jim Goodwin right now?
Because, and it's maybe an easy or a lazy thing to say, but it's almost like he gets it. Like, he says, like, he's... How many managers have we had where you've watched the performance, we've all been at the game, and the manager comes out and says something about the game, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not convinced he was watching the same game as me. But Jim Goodwin is coming out, and if it's a post-match analysis interview for him, he's kind of on the money. Like, there's nothing that he said that I've thought, he's talking shite there. It's kind of bang on, whether it be good or bad, it's spot on. He's no blowing smoke up your arse. And through the week, just that wee video that the club put out where he's trying to get the fans on side, I would suggest that he doesn't really have to try that hard to get fans on side, because he's got the team performing a lot better. We're winning. Fans are attracted by teams that win. It's as simple as that. Like, football is a simple game. You don't have to try too hard to encourage people to come to watch you if what you're doing on the park is playing winning football. So I just think he gets it. He speaks a language that us fans like. Know, like, some of the shysters that we've had to listen to in the past, but you just couldn't relate to what you were hearing. He's no telling me once it's going to turn round. Were you actually backing up with any evidence? Because that used to piss me off earlier in the season when the boss dealt with it's going to turn round, just takes time. He's been honest. He's like, look, I'm asking a lot of these players. I've went in, I've given them loads of information. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't even care what that means. Double tens, triple sixes, and flat back eights. But whatever he's doing is working. He's got everybody behind him now. It's a great thing to be a part of, even though we're 10th in the league. Like, and it's none. Even if we survive, like, okay, you're happy that you've survived, but it's no... I can't say that I would want to overly celebrate the achievement of just surviving. But given where we were... If you're Jim Goodwin, actually, if we survive and you're Jim Goodwin, by all means, like, throw yourself a party, because you were kind of counted out by the whole of Scottish football. And you've took this task on. It wasn't an easy task. And if you actually survive this, he's got everybody behind him, Rondo. He's got everybody behind him. We're all rooting for him. And I've not spoke to anybody that's like, just as long as he keeps swapping, then we can maybe just get another manager. I think most people, if not everybody, would be more than happy if he was to continue in the job.
I did see a couple of tweets a day that people said, we shouldn't have rushed and offered him a deal. We should be looking to see what else is out there. Now, I will just draw Andy's attention to any time we've been the manager, which has happened more often than not the last few years. Look at the list. Look at any list, and you tell me a boy you want off that list. It never, ever happens. Was this guy, Mr. James Goodwin, the unbelievable guy every single fan wanted? No, because of what had just happened. But you've got to remember, you're an Aberdeen team before the World Cup. Doing pretty well. You know, doing pretty well. They were hard to beat at home. They struggled away from home. We get that. But at the end of the day, we could struggle away from AMI you want if we were sitting third in the league. Like, and that's where you could, because that's realistically where they might finish. So you can take all your sports science, your data, bloody blah, blah, blah. As somebody put on the post as a reply, he single-handedly gave the players a right kick up the arse. Now, that must be, that is us as fans simplifying what he's probably done. But given, like, he has said, we need to be better with the ball, without the ball. We need to be fitter. We need to do this. I think it's been a case, being a slightly old-school approach here. We need to put in the hard yards and we'll get our rewards. And that's the last three games.
That's what everybody's been saying. That's what fans have been saying. Yeah. We've been watching the games all season. The ones that are fortunate enough to go to all the games, or most of them at least. And you were sitting thinking, this team is not fit. And he's came in, and whether he said it publicly or it's, I think, reading between the lines, I think something was said to the squad as a whole, because there's a few players that have come out and said, oh, we're fitter now, and whatever, Stephen Fletcher being one of them. But he's came in, and he said the obvious. And even in some of his, I think it was it yesterday? I'm pretty sure it was yesterday, where he's like, look, nobody can accuse the players of no training, he says, and I know that's an accusation that's been thrown at them earlier in the season. Like, he gets it. He's absolutely spot on. That was it. And he's obviously done a good bit of digging and a good bit of research into this. Or his finger's on the pulse of every team in Scottish football, even when he's no employed there. One of the two. But he just gets it. It didn't take him long to come in and look at it and figure it out and think, wait a minute here, these boys are professional football players. They could day we kind of hear a wee bit more in their tanks when it comes to the games. And it's took maybe a few weeks to actually get up to the level of fitness that he's maybe expecting. But I would say that we're there. Like, you can't fault the effort of the boys. You can't fault the application. I feel like all I did all season was fault the effort and application of these guys. But I cannot throw that accusation at them just now. You just can't, because they're all knocking their pan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right, let's talk about the game. We can get off the Jim Goodwin loving for the minute. The Silver Fox, the sexiest manager in the league. Unchanged from last week's win against Motherwell, probably not a shock for anyone involved on the base of that. I think the big question was always going to be, how do we deal with Big Nubly against Sheep?
Yeah, 100%, Rondo. That was the first thought in my head, because the last time, obviously, it was a horror show. And I'm pretty sure that Sheep would openly admit that himself. He didn't have a good game against him. Nubly kind of done whatever he wanted today that night. And Sheep got withdrawn for Liam Smith. But that wasn't an option this weekend. So Sheep had to be at it. And I think also, when watching the game, I think that's maybe another reason why Niskanen was deployed, and he was working back. He was kind of covering that area, doubling up when Nubly got the ball. And he didn't get the ball that often, in fairness. We kind of stopped the ball from getting to him rather than dealing with it when he's got it. He's always going to get it. You kind of keep the ball off a player for 90 minutes. He was always going to get it. But to your point, I thought Sheep done very, very well against him yesterday in comparison to what we saw at the Tony Margaroni a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a tough night at the office for Sheep that night. But yeah, like we said, I just mentioned before we started, I saw Liam Smith, you had a boot on yesterday. And that was another conversation where I just didn't mention this during the Jim Goodwin love. And so let's just jump back on it. Like, he's not even dealing with a full squad right now.
No, nothing like it. And even yesterday, mid-game, like, our goal scorer had to go off. And that forces him into putting Kai Fotheringham on. And I'm not against Kai getting a game, but he was put in a position that's no his position. And I've saw some guys say, I feel it's a wee bit harsh saying, oh, he's had an absolute nightmare yesterday. I don't think he had a nightmare. He maybe wasn't as good as he can be, but he was asked to perform a task that he's probably very rarely had to play. You know, he's usually like a forward-thinking, maybe wide player or something. So to be asked to just get in the middle of the park in a relegation battle against a team that are a bunch of artificial pitch playing fannies that just dev a hour of placing their, the gamesmanship's ridiculous, then it was a big task for them. But as you say, like we are thin on the ground when it comes to our players. You see that by the bench, you see that just in general with the squad. You see it, one way that you can see it is when you look at the reserve sides that we're putting out just now, it's basically the academy team, because we can't attack any chances. Like, there's boys on the bench like a Ross Graham or Rory McLeod, probably need a game or two, but we can't afford to get these boys injured just in case, because we're that hampered by injuries just now. But he's still producing a team that has given us everything that they've got.
Before we get into the game, special mention as well, a brilliant tifo from the display team before the game. It's one of them, Paul, that you didn't actually get to see it because you're basically under it.
Yeah. But that's the usual, like, and it's absolutely fine by me. You still feel a part of it when you're in it.
Yeah.
So it's class. The guys, like, we praise them every time they do something. It's brilliant. It would be interesting to know what the players actually think of this. As a fan, I look on and, okay, I kind of see it, but can my wee heart's quite proud when I see it going on. And it's just great. Like, I love it. It does build a wee bit of the atmosphere. So if I ever get a chance again, and if I ever remember, I will hate to ask the players, what do you boys make of the tifo? Does it even register wee is? Do you just think, oh, that's an awful lot of clearing up, somebody's going to hit it the day after that? What does it get you up for it anymore? What do you think? What goes on in your heads?
So certainly the big bandits of shite housing were coming to Tandice. Listen, they're always been a bit of a shitey team for us to play against. Like, and they obviously come to Tandice to start the season, and the boy Montana scored the winner, and like I say, we managed to put them out the cup, and then we're a bit of a shitey night on the plastic. And listen, we still got a point out that game, and at the time we were pretty brutal in that first half. And I know Jim Gilmore at the time come out and mentioned that, and that was kind of a big moment, because that was a point. We'd been beat for Aberdeen, the scoreline flattered it, we weren't individually, there was a lot of boys just, we make stupid mistakes and whatever, and we come back for it, and you were thinking, it's a point, it's a tough place to go. But when they come to Tannadice, knowing that we'd won two in a row, they were obviously pushing for top six. I never ever thought it would be a classic yesterday. The more important was always going to be getting the win. And I thought we started the game pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. We were on the front foot for the get-go. I had no complaints, eh? I had no complaints. I felt there wasn't many occasions, not just at the start of the game, but in general, over the whole 90 minutes, where I was overly concerned. Like, and that's like a recurring theme the last few weeks. The Hibs game at home felt all right. Motherwell away, they had chances, but you knew they were going to get chances. And then yesterday, no, I thought that we're set up and we're desiring everything was absolutely spot on. Like, I felt that we were at it for the start of the game, and we've got to be. Like, that should be the case every game, but it isn't. But more so just now, when you're desperately needing points to stave off the threat of relegation.
Yeah, and we were getting a lot of the ball in and around the area. Nothing was kind of going to stick there. But, you know, early on in the game, 17 minutes in, I was screaming Free and Hearts to hit it, because I thought it was the better option. But guess what? That's how he's on the park playing, and I'm no. And he just makes a bit of space.
I had to go at him as well, actually. It's quite funny you say that.
sticks out to Jamie McGrath, and it's a brilliant hit. Brilliant. At the time, I thought the keeper should have done better. Then I saw it back and went, nah, it's a great strike.
Bullet. Great, it's a bullet, strike. It's funny that you mentioned Harkes' role in the goal, because it was almost, to me, in the moment, it's like he's waiting on the ball again, coming to him. And I just thought, Tavernier at Ibrox, it was a different area of the park, but it's just, stop fucking waiting on the ball, just go to it. But it worked. I can't even remember what he'd done, if he got lucky or if he got the break, or whatever. It worked. He then lays it after McGrath, and you didn't shoot, you didn't score. And how many times have we got in shooting positions in the past and just fannied around with the ball? Oh no, there's an R pass on. No, just hit it. Good things happen sometimes when you touch shots. So I would say it was a deserved lead at that point, and that's Hark's second assist in two games as well. That's probably due to the sponsorship, I would suggest.
I've always said that. It's what it does for a player. It just gets you up for it. We should have made it 2-0. Keep it a good save in this game.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah. When I saw it in real time, because it's up the other end of the park, I thought, well, he's wide open here. Must be offside or something. But nah, he was onside. It would have counted. But depends how you view it. You could maybe say, oh, he should have buried it. But he's took a shot, a snapshot. It's on target, and the keeper's made a really good save. So I would say it was more a good save than a bad miss.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously, half an hour in, Jamie McGrath went off injured, as you've touched on there. He was really coming into that game. He was very impressive. Yeah. He was picking up the ball, pockets of space. He creates a lot for players around him. He's clever. Yeah. You know, he knew how to take a foul on the edge of their box when the boy gets away from him. You know, he's such a clever footballer. And again, we touched on sort of the injury list and stuff, and you just thought, oh,
yeah,
go. Now, I'm about to say something, and I don't mean it in a bad way, right? And this is why, again, we'll just lay it. This is how Jim Goodwin's a manager, and I'm the dafty playing the music, right? This is how. Because I was thinking, didn't I bring Jim on? We didn't need those three in there, or yeah. Sybil, who'll do your dirty work. He didn't need somebody else that'll sit lits. We need to go to them. And when he shouted Kai back, I thought, there's no way. Because again, like you, I'm thinking, he'll not play. He doesn't play there. And he brought Kai on. You know, he's obviously been in the team, lost his place to Niskanen. You know, it's he played really well in that Livingston game. Mind he come on, he kind of set up the flick onto the goal and stuff. Uh-huh. And he was starting to get some games. And I thought, well, maybe. And then he's played him, you know, sort of in that midfield three. And like you say, it did work in the end. It took a while for him to get into the game. But you could see he's young, he's enthusiastic, he's positive. He always wants to go forward and stuff.
I thought, like we touched on it a few weeks ago, where I said, I know what he can do with the ball because I've saw him in academy games, and I know that he's brave and he's confident. And there was wee snippets of that coming into his game yesterday, I thought, when he wanted to take a man on and whatever. And that will come. That will come. But I felt that he applied himself brilliantly yesterday. Did everything come off for him? No. There was a lot of wayward passes. But like it was a battling performance more than I just let's blow them away off the park by silky soccer. That was never going to be the case yesterday. But he came in and, yeah, we maybe lost a wee bit with Jamie McGrath going off, but like it wasn't a massive loss when Kai came on.
You know what I'm getting at, though, when I said the thing about Jim, though? Because of the different style of player.
Of like, course, it's 100%. That would have been, I didn't want to say negative, but that, when you put Kai Fotheringham on rather than Arnaud Jim, that tells me, right, okay, you're still want to go for this. You're still want to be on the front foot.
10 minutes free time, I'm okay with that.
Kill the game, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, but then I kill it in 30 minutes.
No.
When you're only one goal up, because we've seen this movie, and it's a shite ending.
I've got
the good guy gets caught.
Ah, the tickets you like to that film. I've been there. it was one of them. It was it was disappointing to see him going off. Apart from that, really, that was kind of the first half in a nutshell for me. Nothing else really happened.
No, it was just a battle. Like,
well, the only thing that happened for them is when they got a free kick, and I know the man in the middle will get a mention throughout this, but they got a free kick right at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy that stuck it in the top bin last week stepped up, and I just thought, again,
same position as well.
And then again, it nearly hit you, which is a common theme. People seem to be nearly hit you.
That's fine.
But that was, and again, half time, was it the best half in the world? No, but we were ahead. We were the better team. I thought we were playing the better football. We were defending when we had to. At that point, The keeper had none today, which was great. I mean, their keeper had picked the ball out of the net and made a good save. And that was kind of it. I mean, apart from that, at the time, got to half time, I was quite happy. I was quite happy then.
Same. Yeah, same. I was sitting fairly comfortable when the ref blew the half time whistle. Didn't feel troubled at all. Obviously, if you're one goal up, you're happy, especially just now. And yeah, like everything was going to plan in my mind.
Absolutely no surprise that they come out and the Dovs are a bit of a kick up the arse for it. And the second half is when the game, I would like to say, came alive a little bit. The managers were getting involved. There was boys. I mean, I thought Jim Goodwin just seen a boy run down the line and he was playing a pass. That's what I thought was happening when that incident happened. There were some meaty challenges going in. It was a proper old school battle in that second half.
Good. How many times have we not seen that though? When you see it for the opposition, and we were not contributing to these more sturdier affairs that we were getting involved in. But it was not. It was class. Like it was. We said at the start, it wasn't a spellbinding performance yesterday by any stretch of the imagination. It was a different sort of way to win. Like we had to dig in. It's usually that way against Livingston. Like they'll give as good as they get. They may be limited in some ways. They may be very good at other things. I would suggest they're well-versed in the dark arts. You know, they'll get stuck in. They will absolutely milk every single challenge. And I'm looking at you, Livingston striker. Is it Bruce Anderson?
Yeah, Bruce Anderson, yeah.
What a fanny he is.
Tap
you
fanny.
Are signing him in the summer. Now that I've said that.
Tap
fanny. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I think the challenge that you're on about and then kind of kicked off a wee stooshy on the sideline was Aina. Mm-hmm. And Martindale was up, basically accusing him of elbowing the boy. And he didn't elbow him. I think, if anything, he's put his shoulder right into him. But, like, okay, it was, you might think, oh, that's a bit reckless and kind of, you don't really need to be doing stuff like that. Oh no. It usually happens to us. We don't do nothing about it. Start dishing it out. And it got the crowd involved. I think again, this is where Goodwin's quite smart. I think he was applauding the challenge for Aina. Martindale lost his shit. Goodwin was over at him, telling Hasbala to sit down. And it gets everybody up for it. And I think in a way, that to me is leading by example. Goodwin's showing how much it's meaning to him. And I think the players can look over at the bench and see their manager and they're like, mate, we are in a battle here, and I'm going to war for this man over here. This boy with the silver hair and the funny beard, I'm going to war for him. So it was just a welcome sight, things like that. But there was a lot of, I felt there was a lot of play acting for the Livingston boys. A lot of shite-housing for them as well, and we're getting a wee bit better at that now. I think it comes from Martindale himself. I think when you've got a team that plays, that all seem to, they've all read the script. They all know, like, if there's a foul, go down, surround the ref, try and get boys booked. Martindale, that obviously comes for him. And his on-pitch general is that Jason Holt, and he's another wee rat. He is just, on it. He's another in. He's another in you wouldn't stop kicking. Honestly. He just moans and moans and moans. He's like a wee fucking chihuahua dog. You just want to kick out your girton. Go on, beat it. He just does people's nothing. But it works for them. It riles people up. But I would say it didn't rile us yesterday. It just made us dig in deeper, want to fight more, and want to come out on top.
Yeah. I've heard we've signed Jason Holt on a pre-contract.
Yes, good player that Jason Holt runs things in the middle of the park.
But yeah, I mean, Jeff Goodwin was, he kicked every single bar that I think moved and then literally kicked a bar that moved. Yeah.
Got a yellow card.
Yeah, there's a great picture actually that I've seen online. It's on, I think, the Courier I've got, I think BBC might be carrying it as well. Is Kevin Clancy comes over to book him and he just smiles at him.
Yeah.
But it's just something that, like I'm saying, and this comes back to the managers that have gone before, that I've not seen that behaviour on a touchline.
No. And I was thinking that at the time, watching him do these things, and I was thinking, look, just because Shaba Laszlo, okay, he was... You would think he was
animated.
Yes, the way he would carry on in that dugout area was, you would think this means the absolute world to this man. But it just didn't work out with that. So I get, like, just because Jim Goodwin is portraying this means everything to me, and he's kicking every bar, and he's maybe trying to lead by example for the sideline, so his players are raising their performance. Maybe he's not doing that. Maybe that's just the way he is. I don't know. But you didn't hate act like that to get the best out of the players. But that's just his way. But as the fan, looking at that, it's very easy to relate to that. Because I don't know about you, Rondo, but I kick near enough every bar. for my end sit. I was trying to go on the end of and as his beach cross yesterday.
Well, nobody else would.
Nobody else would. No, it got bad to my sit. But people were like, where are you going? I was like, back post. What do you think I was going? So you can see he's kicking every bar. Mm. He's just, he gets it. And then I can't help Mayor Blayton to say he gets it.
Yeah, yeah. I was so involved in the second goal when I went in. Took us a few seconds to even press the goal music.
What about, I think it was maybe 2 minutes before that, was there no panic stations on? Because that was Fletcher was doing injured.
Mm. Yeah.
And as good as it is that we've won three in a row and we were winning, well, we were winning that game at that time, 1-0, I keep hearing this recurring nightmare of we are one injury away to Stephen Fletcher for just farting the butts.
Yeah.
I don't know who come. You've got Rory McLeod, you've got Sadat, you've got other options. Kai could play up front. I get that. But none of them, with all due respect, none of them are Stephen Fletcher. He adds so much to the team at both ends of the park. How many times does he get his head on a clearance in the box? We're in box. So when he went down, I was like, oh, please, please, Lord and the baby Jesus, smile down on us just now. Make Fletch rise over on that touchline and get him back on this park fit and healthy. And then 2 minutes later, he scores the second goal that clinches it.
Well,
I mean, it was never in doubt.
Well, let's talk about it for a second. So you had a great chance. BH teed him up for a chance before that. And I don't know, Ken, what he's trying to do, apart from hit you, right? Chip it and whatever. That's, and you're thinking, we kind of need this second goal, Steve. Let's calm down. So he goes down. I didn't actually see it because I think I was watching it in their boys play act in the middle of the park again, which is fine. I mean, you'll get your comeuppance at some point. So he's down and I didn't see him go down. And there's a conversation being had beside me. And one of the guys says, he's done. Beach has just said, subby. Like Beach has give the old turny turny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I thought, oh, that's not great that. But we're 1-0 up. It's near the end. You know, maybe. So he obviously goes off and then the bar breaks. It's up there and then it breaks away. And he's been allowed back in the park. So he's in a great position here.
He was one-on-one with the keeper.
He is in a great position to, and the bar then goes to Kai. Oh, the defender's got the bar. Kai presses and pressures him. Kai makes a complete no hunt of it, which is all fine with me. Great bar and great weight on the pass. Fletcher just great finish. Low side the key, doesn't even smash it, just places it in.
Then
obviously Abdi celebrates, the keeper's up. I think Jim Goodwin would have been there if he wasn't booked. Abdi's loving it. And the whole time the music's playing, we're a high five, we're loving, I'm punching the air, I'm looking to see if I could see boys, blah blah blah. Then I look down and for the first time, Paul, I seen it. I seen what I've been wanting to see our season. It was Stephen Fletcher's man bun, was it?
Was that over the place, was it?
And I thought, that's money well spent, Mr. Fletcher. That is a cracking head of hair you are rocking. You should let that flow more often.
Not again, he does.
I just thought, wow.
That's what happens when your teammates jump on you, Rondo. Not that we'll ever can. Apparently your man bun fuzz out. You only dream about these occasions.
It was amazing. I just thought, that's wow. I mean, absolutely brilliant. No surprise he then came off, given we were 2-0 up then. Again, no surprise at the kickoff they put six boys up front.
And again, I'll be the same height as me. Unbelievable, eh? But they got to be the biggest team in world football. Second biggest sports team behind the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
Unbelievably tall.
And I thought it was good, you know, Kai's reward for setting the bar up. Off you come. Deserved his applause. And listen, he wasn't a 10-half because he was playing shite. Let's just say he was 10-half purely to get Ryan Edwards on, who I think made a couple of really good challenges, I think. But again, it was that chaotic at the end. I just wanted to find a whistle to go. And then the board went up and I thought, how is this a thing? How is this so long? But stood up to the task again, and it was just a tremendous sort of end to it. You know, to get to be 2-0 up. Again, it's a clean sheet. I've mentioned that. I tell you, Birgit, you had 5 clean sheets last week, didn't I? You didn't believe
you
me.
You did. You predicted this, Rondo.
I knew it.
You predicted this.
But that's massive. Like, you had that one save in him. It was in them. It was a bit awkward. He kept it. It was fine. Nothing else. Like, absolutely no. Nothing else. You know?
No.
And I heard their keeper was interviewed by their TV and said, it's disappointing they've only had one shot on target. Well, that's funny, mate, because you've conceded 2 shots on target and we've had another in. Finniskinen that you've saved. So I count that as 3, you know?
Yeah. Some people just waffle pish, and I could say that for experience.
So, the refereeing display yesterday.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a few things that annoyed me about the referee. At halftime, I seen him here. Would be the guy that's in charge of the ball boys, because clearly we've smartened up our ball boys, and we've told them, look, when we're 1-0 up and we've got a goal kick, I'm needing you to launch Adebayor on the park to Birigetti, just to waste a wee bit of time. Mm. Not that Birigetti needs any help wasting time.
No, he doesn't. I like that.
Even when we were trailing games earlier in the season, you're like, hurry up, you will you? He just takes forever to take a goal kick. So I saw the ref doing that at half time. What else was he hopeless at? Perfect refing. Throw-ins for Livingston. So the bar would go out, and the usual players like to, players are allergic to tacking a throw-in for where the bars actually went out. Mm-hmm. So they'd be stealing their usual 5, 10, maybe 15 yards. I think Freeman, he went to steal about 2 yards on a throw-in, and the ref was like, whoa, sheep. Where do you think you're going? Back a bit, sir. He was so inconsistent with that. And another instance that sticks in my mind is when we scored the second goal and Birigetti's come up to celebrate. And he's heard a word with Birigetti as if to say, you're time-wasting here, mate. And Birigetti's like, what are you talking about? Now, genuinely, what is he talking about? Because they would have checked it with VAR anyway. Like, the celebration must have lasted just under a minute. And then you get back to the halfway line and they're still checking. What are they checking? I know that, I get that they check every goal, but what are you checking? Mm. Livingston player had the bar, turned into David McCracken, got robbed, bar got played through, mile onside, goal. What are you checking? So the ref was honking. The ref was, again, and spoiler alert, he gets mentioned in the good, the bad, the ugly. But the officials this season, I don't know if it's an all-time low, because if you can cast your mind back to when we were in the Championship, it seemed to be a weekly thing as well, that the officials were getting slated for myself and you.
Horrendous. But, it's just horrendous.
He's really poor. I touch on it in the good, bad, ugly. I've never really been a fan of that Clancy after he done us dirty years and years ago. And fans tend not to forget stuff like that.
Just some of the stuff, like Ian Harris is a booking. I get he's pulled the shirt back. Craig Sibbles is never a booking.
Absolutely,
the thing is, what Harris, and it's any of these daft things that he's 80 yards for your end goal. You didn't need to pull his shirt, right? But he's done it, it's a yellow card. But two of your centre midfielders are on a booking that early, and you're thinking, this is no great. And then some of the shite, like you've mentioned Bruce Anderson, like. You'd think, I saw a sniper shooting him at the game yesterday, and I was no surprised he was doing that long, but you had a wee look as well, as soon as he seen, like, I think that was Sibbald, was it Sibbald? It must have been Sibbald, because he got booked, and then he was able to, he didn't obviously need to go off, but he just made, he marks a Milo all the time, and
100%.
The problem is, the referees, and there was there was obviously VAR checks I had, but there was no big VAR check yesterday. There was nothing, obviously, for that. So there was. So again, the game's kind of flowed fine. He's made a lot of decisions, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the line doing beside me was just guessing sometimes when that bar went out. But just some of the decisions he gave, and like the one I quite liked was when when Niskanen had tackled the boy, or he'd been tackled. The whistle went, and like a split second later, Kieran Freeman has smashed the boy.
Mulgated the boy, did he? Ah, good.
But again,
good. Deserved it. Deserved it.
So true. But then they were happening, and then this is what, and I digressing slightly away from Clancy, but he's an arsehole. But Goodwin's up for every and he's punches like Kenny, feeling it. Like, and then
celebrating it like a goal.
Oh, it was brilliant. But then this boy used to smash boys for fun. You know what I mean? He's loves it.
Dirty bastard himself.
But yet again, I just thought the refereeing standard was terrible. Poor.
Yeah,
terrible.
That was poor.
Our mate Andrew has got a great phrase. He says, they never hide it. They didn't hide it. And although it wasn't that sort of thingy on it, but I just thought some of these decisions are embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, just embarrassing. Yeah,
they leave themselves open to the allegations that's not just like a bad decision. Like that, there's something more to that. Like he's just purposely gave that against that team for whatever reason. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly what happens, but some of the decisions are that baffling that it does lead you to think that. And while we're on about officials, this isn't the United game. Did you watch Sports Scene last night, Rondo? The Hibs sending off.
Oh, game's gone.
Rondo, that's not a foul. That's not a foul.
It's clear as day.
It's a straight red. It's a straight red. It then goes to VAR, as it always will. And they're like, that's a good decision, Mr. Referee. And it's that wee Nyafo referee. It's no Colin Stephen, it's the other boy. Can't mind his name. Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. And that's another reason for a wee bit of worry in my mind about what will happen the rest of the season, because these things happen every game. And the way that we're battling, who's to say that Craig Sybil isn't going to go in and win the back cleanly and the boy gets there just a wee bit late and gets caught for Sybil? Mm-hmm. And we end up with 10 men. It's just, as you say, the game's gone. When things like that are happening, it is ridiculous. It would be remiss of us to finish up talking about the game without mentioning boys like Sybil, Niskanen and Aina again. I thought they were excellent. Like, I really did. Maybe no, like, and I'll get stuck for this, but I get Niskanen's not going to be up for any Ballon d'Ors anytime soon. I get that. But he must have covered every blade of grass at Tannadice yesterday. And in the situation that we're in, I'll take that all day, every day.
Yeah.
Like we need that sort of level of effort for boys. And I think him and Sheep kind of being where they were employed yesterday, around about Nubly, I think that helped negate the threat that he possesses, because out with him, they didn't really hear anything else. Bruce Anderson can score a goal. Of course he can. Might be a shithouse, but he can score a goal. He can score a net. But when you take Nubly out, a big part of their offence just fuzz by the wayside.
Yeah, and I thought, again, Aina next to him grew. I think it's going to help him. Of course, you're playing with a boy double your age. But it's been there and done it, huh?
Like, half my age, no double, mate. If he's Charlie Mulgrew's maybe double my age.
No, I'm saying Aina's playing next to Mulgrew was double.
I can.
But Mulgrew, like, to play next to him.
Yes. Well, he's been there and he's been there, seen it, done it all, hasn't he? He's done it all. And Aina's, I mean, it's, in a way, it's unfortunate for us because we're developing somebody else's player. Mm. And by the looks of it, he's developing very, very well. But like we can only ask him to perform well when he's with us. Like whatever he does moving forward is none of our concern unless we sign him, which I very much doubt, but can't fault the performances that young lad he's putting in week after week. Really can't.
No. And you could, you know, you look at social media and everything that he's, you know, he posts and shares everything. That's a guy that, you know, listen, the Huddersfield has no plan for him. Come on back, you know?
It's, yeah.
You know? But he's done really well. Next step, of course, it's, you know, people can't point and go, but we've got, we're in centre halves on the bench, Ross Graham's there and whatever. I totally get that, but I certainly believe that Aina's there on merit and for the performance he's put in. You know, he had a shaky game, as we know, but, I mean, no one has put the blame on him. Yes, he's put the challenge in when he got red carded, but the manager should have subbed him. We've been through this, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yes, he is rash. He's 20 years old. Or 19
or so. He's getting less and less rash, though, I would say.
Yeah.
I think he's learning.
Yeah.
That's basically what's happening. Yeah. Because he's playing alongside Mulgrew. And I've been critical of Mulgrew this season, no doubt, telling him to hang his bits up about three times. But playing alongside Aina, you're spot on, Rondo. He is definitely improving Aina week on week.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and I totally get the conversation. I mean, we were Ross Graham's biggest fans last season when he was in that team. You know, massive, massive help. But I just think when you've, it's how that works, because clearly he likes playing a back four.
Yeah.
Now, if the world is rosy, and we were in seventh, went on to play for in this bottom six, or your sixth went on to play for, bloody blah, then the manager at the time might go, okay, well, let's play Loic next to Ross Graham. To our young boys, but let's go for it. But right now, it needs the experience that's in there. Because at the end of the day, when you look at that, I imagine Charlie Mulgrew has got more career appearances than McMahon, Aina and Freeman put together, without a doubt. So his experience is unbelievable. McMahon, again, does what
he'll
he
have more goals than they've got appearances.
Probably, but McMahon goes about his business again. Growing in confidence. Obviously, there's the chat that's come out today from the post-match that when Bill Hamid turned up, he went, this is a bit of a kick in the balls. But Jim Goodwin's had a bit, look at Big Bill and went, you are Big Bill, let's move you on. And puts his faith in Mark Bergitti. Now, the optimist might say, but what is he meant to do? What's he meant to play? Because Ericsson's been chucked off. Well, here we are, star of the loan report, of course. But Jack Newman's still a young kid. So, the manager has to put his faith in you, Mark. But more importantly, as you are getting the faith back, you're getting your confidence back. You're the most laid-back man in the world. I get that. You're Australian. It's what happens, given the fact that, you know, you've mentioned, we're behind in games, and he's just strolling out like he's on Bondi Beach.
Mr. Laid-back.
Oh, he's got the speedos on. Ken Chillick. Okay. You know, and I gave up for Australians, right? Second half, we're running the clock down. Beach is in the corner, right? On the wrong side. Is this the first half? No, it's the second. I think it's the second half. He's on the right-hand side. They've took the corner. They've lost the bar, bloody blah. So he's sort of dandering back. And I could hear Jim Goodwin going, Aziz! And sort of just puts his hands up. And Aziz just looks up and smiles. He cans. He's like, he's right. Just the typical Australian thing in that. But like I say, we're going through that team. You know, there's the back four, there's the goalkeeper. Craig Civil, revelation. Ken, 8 out of 10 every single week. Effort, 11 out of 10 every single week. But we're also getting to see the dirty side of what he can do, but what he's good at with the ball at his feet. Ian Hart's been a revelation again in weeks. No, just because of sponsorship of his favourite podcast, I imagine. But he's whether he's playing a different role, he's been told to different things, but you're getting to see the parts of his game he's known for. Yeah, did he misplace Colt Pass yesterday? Aye, so did Avdi. But the awareness for the goal, the me and you are screaming at, because hey, that's how he's on the park, and he's no doing a daft podcast like this. That's why he's in the team. And again, you look at this, and this going, like you've mentioned, Beach, again, gives you the effort. Great bar across the box, nabbed you there. You know, Kai comes in, Jamie McGrath, great. Stephen Fletcher. I mean, right across that.
The manager's almost improved everyone since he's come in. He's almost improved everyone. He's certainly improved the collective, but he's almost improved every single player since he's come in.
Yeah. And this is the thing, again, it's not even a full team. Glenn Middleton, injured. Peter Paul, Dylan injured. Levitt. Dylan Levitt, injured. You know,
Liam Smith,
injured. Club captain on the bench, you know, like, but you look at that. I mean, there's five arguably first teamers gone by right now. Definite starters, what I'm saying right now, like yesterday, if McGrath goes down, that's a perfect opportunity to get Peter Pollock on or whatever. But the options are no there. Glenn Middleton coming back will be like a new player again, because he's been out for that long, forced him back against Ross County, he got pumped anyway, shouldn't have bothered. Dylan Levitt, now, this question come up yesterday. Is Dylan Levitt playing that team just now? I'll tell you, I think Dylan Levitt does play in that team, because when you're attacking and when you're playing the counter-attacking football and we're entertaining, because I know that word come up for Jim Goodwin this week, Dylan Levitt plays, right, for me. I don't know where he plays, because that's not my job. I think when it's been backs to the wall and you've had to throw your neck on the line, body on the line, break legs, do what you need to do, you know, just throw yourself in front of everything, that's not his game. We've said that time and time again. But what he can bring you is that extra spark. What Glenn Middleton could bring you to get you up the park is different as well. Liam Smith and Kieran Freeman will split opinions sometimes, but they need each other for competition. Because when there's only one player, like Jamie Robson, we said it for how long? Jamie Robson, because you had no competition, when complacency would sneak in, you had no pressure. But also didn't allow him for him to drop out of the team when he had to. But there's there to do it. The club captain sitting, getting splinters in his ass. It's the captain of the team sitting, getting splinters in his ass because a 19-year-old kid for Huddersfield. You know, next to a 47-year-old Charlie Mulgrew. But this is what's working. It's up to them to get in the team. And I know, I mean, like I said, there's loads of other players in there. Like yesterday, again, if we were tuning up earlier on, you might have seen Kuju on to stretch the game a wee bit, give a bit of pace. Sadat to come on and do that. Like, I get that. Rory McLeod, come on. We saw it the other week when he ran doing everything. Like, players will get opportunities at the right time. And I just think, I didn't ever feel, and I know we've said this before as well, but with previous times, you would know, well, there'll be a substitution on 60, that'll be June for Sybil, there'll be a substitution on 75. You're not getting that now. You're not getting that, you know? And it's massive, massive.
Yeah, yeah, like we could, I'm sure on our end of season episode, I'm sure we'll get into that. Like you could speak about that for ages when that's happened during the season. But as you say, that isn't happening just now. And we are better for that not happening just now.
First clean sheet since January the 2nd.
St Johnstone away.
Yes.
Yeah. It was deserved. That was deserved.
Just what was the way to say.
Yeah, totally deserved.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
The whole, you know, the whole shebang of getting that and just unbelievable. What was it feeling like when that full-time whistle went?
Class. It was only second to when the second goal went in because I lost my shit. I was away down the stairs again. I'm just like I've got it back. Like the passion never left me, but like when you're scoring goals and it doesn't really matter because you're thinking, oh, Christ, we'll probably sell the jerseys at the other end in about 2 minutes anyway. It doesn't feel like that now, Rondo. Like it feels like we're part of the same team. We're going for it. It didn't always feel like that this season, if I'm being honest, but the second goal celebration was class. Because it was 2-0, you're just waiting on the final whistle. You've won the game. The closer it gets, you've won it. So, yeah, obviously that was good as well. The only downside, I suppose, was hearing the result for Paisley. But there's no point in stress and stuff like that. We can only win the games that we are playing in ourselves. Whatever happens elsewhere will happen. We cannot affect that. We could have done with Tony Watt getting his finger out his arse and no clearing the stand. We are shot for about 3 yards, but that's by the by. But yeah, for us to have won 3 out of 3, I've got absolutely zero complaints.
Man of the match?
Sybil again for me.
Okay.
Sybil again. I never heard who got it at the game.
Craig Sybil.
I just think he's excellent. I've said it a good few times this season. Like he's this season's version of John Rankin. Like he's a steady Eddie, but he doesn't shy away. He skinned somebody just doing in the touchline in front of you as well yesterday. It was absolutely class. That got us off my seat. But I just think he's been class. He's had a couple of poor performances, but he's never let you down. He's never let you down. But Aina was really good. We were collectively good being great yesterday. I felt like it wasn't a great performance. It was effective and it was a win. Would you rather, like against Aberdeen, Goodwin's first game, you could maybe argue we played better in that game than we did yesterday, but we got bit. The position that we're in, you can't afford to play well and get bit. So just play where you're heading to dig out a victory, but make sure you get the victory. And we'll all take that just now.
On Craig Sybil, I probably have asked you this before, but it's just come to me and I can't mind the answer. Either that or I wasn't listening. When we signed him, what did you think?
I can't remember, but if I can try and think back, I definitely wasn't against the signing. But because we had brought in Levitt, we had brought in McGrath, we had brought in Fletcher, it was probably viewed as, oh, he'll do all right. There maybe wasn't too much thought went into the fact that we've signed Craig Sybil because of these other perceived bigger name signings. But he's never let me down, Rondo. And I think he's probably winning our man of the match stats, but like, there's no been a better signing than him this season. Stephen Fletcher's been class.
Oh, yeah.
He's been class. Like, he's never chucked it. He's never dumped. He's never looked anything other than keen to do well for United. But Sybald, I would imagine he's no on as much as what Fletcher's on. Again, completely speculating, but I don't think I'd be wrong to assume that Fletcher's probably on a bigger wage than Sybald. I think Sybald's probably been our best signing.
Pound for pound.
Pound for pound, yeah. Very well put.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. It's expected that the fixtures will be out for the post-split Monday or indeed Tuesday. So but maybe by the time you've listened, you've actually heard that. But my question to you, Paul, is who do you want in the first game of the split?
Ross County away.
Well,
we'll do them at home, aren't we?
Well, I'll just tell you, I want St Johnstone. Eh? I want to get above them.
Johnson. Okay. Well, that's a fair shout. My reason for picking Ross County was because hopefully their heads are still up their ass to what happened to them at Tynecastle.
Yeah.
And a wee funny side note to what happened to them at Tynecastle. When I was walking to the game yesterday, bumped into a few people, and to a man, Abdi was gutted that it was 6-1 because Ross County had pulled a goal back. I was like, you kidding me? You would have snapped the hand off for 6 before the game. They'd be sweating the one goal. Again, but the goal difference. I was like, 6-1's class. Mm-hmm. That's a great result for us. So that's why I would have said Ross County, but I can completely see your point, Mason Johnson.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation going on yesterday about what we were due and whatever else. We've played 17 home games, so it should be 2 homes is what we should get. Motherwell should be one of them, because they've only been when Sean Goss was snipered, really. I mean, he was almost put to an early grave that day. It was that criminal.
He's done well.
We'll likely go to St Johnstone because we've only been there once this season. And, I mean, come on, like Livingston. We need to go to Livingston. We should go to Livingston. So, yeah, not great. If it's it should be Kilmarnock at home, because we've only had them at him once when it was a 4.
Not going to be, though, is it?
Well, that's what I just didn't ken. But if I was a betting man, what I think should happen is it'll be Kilmarnock and Motherwell at him, and it'll be Livingston, St Johnstone and Ross County away. But for me, I'd be wanting St Johnstone first. The league table, we've all played 33 games now. Ross County, 27 points. They're minus 24 on goal difference. Kilmarnock, 31 minus 29. We're 31 minus 22. St Johnstone, 33. They're minus 20. And Motherwell, who I still wouldn't say are out of it by any stretch of the imagination. I know it's 6 points away for us, but they're 37 with minus 4. Livingston, I think, are now in that horrible place that we've absolutely nothing to play for.
If Motherwell are 6 away for us, they're 10 away from the bottom. Like, they're out of it. There's only 15 points.
I meant
points
for us. I didn't actually mean for bottom.
All right, okay. But I'm just glad that we've pulled St Johnstone in it, because that'll heap a wee bit of pressure onto them, because it's, okay, they got that result yesterday. And again, have you seen their goal for yesterday? What was David Marshall doing?
Oh, I don't care what he was doing.
Christ almighty, didn't help us out at all. It's pulled them back into it. So there's all to play for. I think Motherwell are safe. I don't think they'll get pulled into it. Livingston are in literal no man's land. It's almost pointless. Almost pointless for them, which might work in their favour or it might work against you. You just don't know. But I'm more, far, far more confident now, sitting here speaking to you, about our chances in every game and even in the playoffs, if it was to come to that, as long as we continue this vein of form. I'm sitting far more comfortable thinking about our chances.
Yeah, I keep saying, clip this, clip that, because the things you said, we didn't actually do that, purely through laziness, more than anything else, but there has been so many points this season that, you know, you did say that we were doomed or this or that, but again, I just think when we look at the bigger picture, that no one, I know inside a club and at high level, you can't admit that, but there must have been conversations of, we don't got our finger out here, eh? This could be, crazy. I mean, I think we are saying it. Look, the Liam Fox experiment did not work. and it should have been fucking binned way early. And I just think he got a wee bit, because when we come back after the World Cup, there wasn't that little sort of lift that we got. But as soon as the January bad form hit, or no, even that, it just, maybe that odd result happened at the right time, but it was god-awful to watch at times. It was just miserable at times. We always looked knackered. It was Rich coming for me, given I got tired going to the cupboard for a snack. But it was, it was really, really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. But now, yes, we're level with Kilmarnock because they got a great win. Listen, as soon as I heard that St Mirren had sold out, like for this, top six push, I knew they weren't winning yesterday. Like, I just knew
hopeless.
It. I just knew
pressure.
It.
It's a different pressure, but it's a pressure and some teams can't cope.
Mm.
We have, United have proved to me that we can cope with the pressure because of what we've done the previous two, three games.
And because we've got a very different manager as well.
Yeah, yeah.
An absolutely brilliant fortnight, a brilliant 13 days, call it what you will. But like we said at the top, at 5 o'clock 2 weeks ago on the Saturday before the Hibs game, we were, apart from Paul, because he knew we were going to win, it felt the worst of the worst. But here we are now, going into the split, 4 points ahead of Ross County. We're level with Kilmarnock, but we are in that 10th position. Listen, if I'm offered that right now, I probably would snap your hand off for it. Just to stay in. But I think, you know, we could certainly be catching St Johnstone, and then we could just see what happens. Right, Paul, you've alluded to it.
Yes, the good, the bad.
Let's get into it.
Right, the good this week, Rondo. The fight and determination of this side is now a joy to behold. We moaned about the lack of both of these qualities most of the season. And I say we, I mean me. But there's been a transformation these past few weeks, and that's undeniable. The bad. Well, nothing that I saw at Tannadice on Saturday was bad. So the only negatives that I could see at the weekend were that Killie won, David Marshall sell the jerseys for Hibs to allow St Johnstone to win a point, and Inverness couldn't have beat that wee team up the road. The ugly. To the surprise of no one, the ugly was the ref, Kevin Clancy. Yet another Loughman show of officiating from the man in the middle on Saturday. And let us never forget that that particular referee is the one that once lied to his superiors about Nadir Shifsi grabbing a linesman by the throat. And it was only the Arab zone at that time's cameras that got him off of that church, showing that that didn't happen. He made it up. Incompetent and hopeless, Rondo.
110%. So, next weekend's a free weekend, Paul. What are you getting up to? What are you treating yourself to? Are you going to Hobby Crash?
Absolutely not. That's no one on my list of options. Like, there could be a list of a million things, Rondo. It's no one. It's never going to be on my list. So, I'll probably go to a junior game, to be honest with you, because I need my football fix.
Mm. You got an open training session?
Yes, like I wasn't going to bother my arse, but Leo's keen to go, so I'll no doubt end up at Tannadice asking for selfies with Ian Harkes, something like that. You can't how it goes. Ron.
Can exactly how it goes.
What are you up to? Because you will be in Hobbycraft. I've no doubt about that. Playing with your fuzzy felt again.
I'll likely be still cleaning my decking.
How much decking have you got? Did you deck either way to Aberdeen?
I
what have you decked? You've been on it all morning today.
I need to oil my wood.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Again?
Still been done for 2 years, so it needs done. So. And then maybe Sunday pints, but we'll see. Other than that, I'm probably going to be working. It's bank holiday weekend, so Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday night. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's the plans. But again, I suppose the flip side is that what's worked out pretty good for Jim Goodwin is he's had those odd free weekends, be it Scotland or whatever, to really work. And the best thing, and listen, to the squad players that obviously listen, I'm being delighted not to see you on holiday for 4 days during an international break. Absolutely delighted because the hard graft's been done. And again, it's another opportunity for him to do that. Listen, I imagine Saturday they'll work hard, right? But I don't think it'll be to the levels he would normally probably demand because of what it is. But again, they're allowed a day like that as long as they're still working.
I'm under the impression that this wee open training session is going to be like a light kind of warm-up thing where fans can just watch kind of what goes on, maybe get some pictures after it. But there's an actual... It is going to be to a tight time schedule because the gaffer has scheduled in a training session for these boys.
Good.
So they're still going to be working. They're still going to be working that day. So as you say, like class, and if, see when you're at the top of the league and you're high flying and whatever, like boy, you don't know, people don't care when you get a weekend off and you're a while back to wherever you go, tie yourself to Rome, tie yourself to London, whatever, it doesn't matter. But the optics on that aren't great when you're fighting relegation and you see players swanning about, spending their hard-earned. It's class. It's class. Like, for a fan, I just want games because I'm liking what I'm seeing. You just want games. But for the manager's point of view, he's probably thinking, that's cool, we've got a few injuries. No game for 2 weeks. Hopefully that's another 14 days for these boys to get fit. It's another 14 days for me to work with these players that are not injured. And hopefully we'll get even more out of them. That's got to be the hope.
Absolutely. I've just seen a tweet of one of these things saying Jim Goodwin emptying his pockets after Livy. I don't know if you've seen this, Paul. So there's obviously a picture of a guy with his pockets empty, his phone's there, his keys there, his wallet's there. There's obviously a picture of Hasbulla, of Davy Martindale. And there is, of course, a clip, a screenshot of one of your tweets saying, yes. I'll be honest, I cannot believe that Jim Goodwin is even allegedly in the conversation.
Am I copied into this tweet? Because I have not seen it.
It's certainly been sent to us, so you'll definitely see it, put it that way. Which is class, I love it. We've still got Who Am I to get to. We'll speak about the live show, we've got understand all that other good stuff, but let's hand over to Paul right now for a bit of the women's team, the academy, and of course the loan report.
Start with the loan report as always, Rondo, and we'll head to Paisley. Tony Watt at St Mirren. Tony Watt would start Saturday's match against Killy and played for 81 minutes. The big useless bugger couldn't prevent his side from being pumped 2-0 for our direct rivals, though, and he even managed to clear that away stand with a shot. Garbage. Declan Glass at Cove Rangers. Cove would get a rare win on Saturday against their direct rivals, Arbroath, but Deco would have to make do with a seat on the Gayfield bench for the full match. Why do I even bother looking for that information, Rondo? Chris Mockery at Dunfermline. Chris and his league-winning teammates were away to Airdrie on Saturday, and for the first time in a few weeks, he'd make the starting lineup and play the full match. The game would finish 1-1, and the Pars would finish the game with 9 men due to having 2 players red-carded. Leighton Bisland at Peterhead. Leighton would start his side's home game against Clyde on the bench on Saturday and would only come on for the last 13 minutes. His side came very close to getting all 3 points and were only denied by a 92nd minute equaliser from Clyde. The game finished 1-1. Adam Hutchison and Finn Robson at Forfar. Both lads played the full 90 minutes of the home match against Bonnyrigg Rose, but it would be an unhappy afternoon for them as they were beaten 1-0. Flynn Duffy at Stirling Albion. Flynn started the game against Annan on the bench, but would come on in the 83rd minute and make an impact. Stirling were 2-1 up when he came on, and they knew that that score would be enough to see them crowned champions. In the 91st minute, Flynn would score his side's third, ensuring the title win and sparking a pitch invasion from the delirious Albion punters. Rory Adams at Gala Ferradine Rovers. In what would be the final league game of the season for Rory, he would face Simon Ferry's open goal Broomhill, and his side would have a comfortable win. The big lad was subbed off on 71 minutes, however, but it was more to do with the manager giving the backup goalie some minutes rather than an injury to Rory. His team would win 4-1 on the day, and it will likely be cup duty for him next week. Jacob Comerford at Cumbernauld Colts. Jacob played the full 90 minutes for Cumbernauld Colts' final league game of the season on Saturday when Dalbeattie Star were the visitors. Both teams went down to 10 men in the first half, and it turned into a stroll in the sun for the Colts, with Jacob setting up the fourth goal with a driving run down the right before squaring it for a tap-in for his Colts teammate. It would finish 5-0 to Cumbernauld. Logan Chalmers at Tranmere Rovers. Logan wasn't in the squad for his side's match versus Grimsby on Saturday, and it was a match they won 2-0. Carl-Johan Eriksson at Nordsjælland. Carl-Johan was again the backup keeper this weekend as his team lost 1-0 away to Viborg. The Academy and B-team. Last Tuesday, a young B-team welcomed Livingston's B-team to Gussie in the Reserve League. It would be another comfortable win for the team as they would see off Martindale's Macaroni Men 3-0 on the day with two goals from Craig Moore and yet another from Stuart Heenan. Then on to Friday, and the Academy lads were in action at Gussie against Hibs. It was another win for them, four on the spin now, and that man Stuart Heenan would score both goals as they saw off the lads Faileith 2-1. The women's team. It was a trip through to Glasgow last week for the ladies, and it would be an incredibly comfortable 3 points. Graham Hart's Chargers notched up 7 goals without reply in a game that they could not drop any points in. There were a few things from the game that need pointing out, however. Firstly, Rachel Todd scored a 3-minute hat-trick. That's some going. Young Georgie Robb would get on the score sheet, and rejuvenated Jade McLaren would notch a double. The last goal was scored by a walking yellow card, Cassie Cowper. So on the back of a 7-goal win, it was unusual to say the least, but Danny McGinley never got on the score sheet. Player of the match in this one, though, could only be one person. To travel 90-odd miles away from home, to play in a match where the officials are likely against you, and your team still keep a clean sheet. What more can I say? Fiona McNichol picks up that award. Sorry, Rachel. That led the team on to a midweek home game against Aberdeen, and it would turn out to be a 7-goal thriller. Unfortunately, though, United wouldn't come out on top in this one. In what was a back-and-forth game for the majority of the night, Aberdeen made the most of their Route 1 tactics and got themselves into a 2-goal lead. Danny McGinley would half the deficit just before half-time, however. Into the second half, and thanks to Leo needing me to take him to the toilet, I managed to miss Leah Dobbin's bullet of a strike to draw the sides level. Of course, that only lasted for 10 minutes, as Aberdeen again took the lead. In the 71st minute, parity was then restored as Jade McLaren got on the end of a McGinley cross to stroke the ball home. The game would swing from end to end after that, but it was Aberdeen that got their fourth and winning goal on the night, as a deflected shot in the 85th minute would undo United's backline, wrong foot their outstanding keeper. A crushing defeat for the team, and they have 10 days to wait before trying to put it right when they travel to face Hamilton next week.
I can't believe that Aberdeen team beat us. Honestly.
Neither can I.
All I do is spend my time saying leaving out to their manager. You know what I mean?
Really, so I was going to boo him, but I thought...
Sure off.
He asked us to leave.
Sure punched his boss.
It would have been like bullying because he's really wee.
He is. He's tiny.
So he's not the biggest ass. So I would have looked really fucking stupid. Even more stupid than normal.
No Walking Football update this week. Before I get more details of what's going on at the Community Trust, dundeeunitedct.co.uk and the foundation as well. If you would like to join the foundation, details at dusf.scot. So who am I? Trudges on for another week. It's 29 to me, 27 to Paul. Now, I'll be honest, Paul, I may have forgot about this and didn't think it was my turn.
Okay.
But it is my turn.
Definitely is. You scored 4 glorious points last week, Rondo.
I know, but...
Knocked out the park. And you were a bahir awafi, a fev.
I can, but I just remind you putting pressure on, saying, oh, we need to think of the listeners here, and they think you're being an arsehole, your clues, and I thought... Fair point.
Yeah, but the listeners have always thought you were an arsehole, so don't let that extra pressure weigh you down, Rondo. Come on.
Again, fair point. So, I think you'll do well this week, eh?
You're nothing if not consistent, Rondo.
I'm telling you. Clue number one. This player's squad numbers during his time at Tannadice were 17, 22, and 18.
17, 22, 18. I don't hear a clue. I'm no good with squad number clues, Rondo. I don't hear a clue.
No, I've just 17, given you.
17. Well, no, but to me, that's not a clue. That's not good to me. I think Jamie Robson was 117, I think. I couldn't even tell you why I was 17 this season. Couldn't I? But that suggests to me, like, there's a clue within a clue there, Rondo. You're telling me he's been there at least three seasons, at least. So I appreciate that. But I didn't hear a name for you. I didn't hear a name for you after that.
All right, okay. In terms of who that is, Archie Meekinson is 17 this season. Jamie McGillat is 18 and...
No idea. Parks is 23, is he?
Like you didn't care that.
Jeez. Of course. I say that like it's a question. Good.
So, yeah, you get into them because you didn't care.
There it is.
Clue number two.
He's happy with himself. Here we go. This is Vloutman. I could tell already.
He made his first team debut on my birthday in 1991.
Oh. Was there squad numbers back then?
Nah.
No danger. 17, 22, 18. Can I just say, a lot of listeners are not going to have a clue when your birthday is. I can't remember exactly, but it's around about 16th of August or something like that.
Wow. But you think you know someone, eh?
Yeah. What date is it? Before I say the name that I've got, that I don't think it's right anyway.
Oh, and Kieran Freeman's 22 this season. We should count.
Ah, okay.
My birthday is...
In fairness, I'll say my answer. I'm thinking Alec Clelland, but I don't know. It's no him. It's completely no him.
My birthday is the 17th of August.
I was a day out. Come on.
You could be a day out with your missus' birthday and all hell will break loose. You're a minute late with mine and I'm not demanding you to be on your knees begging for forgiveness. we a tennis ball in your mouth, am I? No. I am outraged. Right,
Your first two clues haven't helped me at all.
Anyway, clue number three. He was inducted into the Dundee United Hall of Fame in February of 2016.
Jeezy beats, man. Well, I think I was in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. That's it. Cancel it now.
2016.
Yep.
1991.
I've got a great message I need to read you after this. You need to remind us. It's a belter.
I've offered you nothing today, Rondo. I don't know here. Again, Alec Clelland was shite. Again, I wasn't him. I don't know here. Name, I can't.
Right.
Paddy Connolly. And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Clue number four for 2 points.
For an equaliser.
He made 250 appearances, scoring 23 goals for United.
Andy McClellan.
Are you committing or are you wanting the time?
I'm committing.
Correct! Andy McClellan.
Andy McClellan. We've used him about four times.
It's all about the clues, my boy. It's all about the clues.
So 17, 22 and 18.
Yep. Yeah, that was he was here for three seasons when there were squad numbers when he come back. Yeah. Made his first team debut on my birthday in 91. He was in the Hall of Fame. Clue number four, he's made 250 appearances, 23 goals. Clue number five, he was the first Scottish Cup winner on the Shitey Wee podcast.
Yeah, I got that. Okay, fair dues.
I would have hoped so.
I would definitely have got that. Andy McClellan.
It's all square.
Nice.
29, right,
text
29.
Message. What's your text message?
This is a better list. So I was telling you about that meme that's been made up. Jim Goodwin emptying his pockets after Livy. And Chris, who's been on the show, he was the first person to pick six players for a five-a-side team.
And that's how we now pick six players.
Has replied to that saying, Paul has to be close to being sacked from the pod. clearly knows nothing about football. JGTA. But Chris is also no coming back to Tannadice because I played Natasha Beringfield yesterday for Andy, who asked for that.
Well, that's so, the way it goes.
There you go. A couple of other things to clear up just while we're on it. The matchday playlist is grand. Thank you very much to people who do suggest. We can't get through them all, but thanks. And the second one, we got asked today if the players pick their goal music, right? Mm-hmm. So to give that, because I've been asked this a few times, right? The answer, in a word, is no. And there's only been two that have ever done it. Simon Murray, who picked DJ Sammy Heaven, and Young Erch has actually got his song as well. But again, you'll hear it next season when he scores loads. The rest of them have kind of been made up from songs, like Dylan Levitt's Heaven's Place on Earth, stuff like that. But then you've got other ones like Big Sexy. Old Charlie's got Sexy Boy Shawn Michaels theme from the WWE or WWF, depending on your age. But then you've got Ian Hark's. Ian Hark's, I think.
It's got to be Hulk Hogan.
It's Hulk Hogan now. It's now changed. It was born in the USA, which is actually a lie, given he was born in Derby or something. So, and there's obviously Sadat's got Happy, Cujo's got Waka Waka, Shakira, that stuff. There's a couple others. Because of their prowess in front of goal, no one's heard, and I'm desperate. And I won't go into it, but I'm desperate for Scott McMahon to score. It's our one. It's just our one. But anyway, so there, that just clears up a couple of wee bits that we just thought we'd mention. Who am I? Of course, be back next week. We are right now, 23rd of April, 3 weeks away from the live show at the Gardine Theatre as we will look back on our greatest day, 40 years to the day, of United winning the league. We will be joined by Hamish McAlpine, John Holt, John Riley, Maurice Malpass and Paul Hegarty. If you have got tickets, thank you so much. We are really looking forward to it. We'll run kind of the same as all our events have run. The first half, we will get the guys out. We'll have a right look through that season. We'll have a little break. And in the second half, we will open up the floor to a Q&A for any of your questions. You can stick your questions in before you go into the auditorium, before the show. Write them in, get them in. We'll get through as many as we can. Same format, like I say, as before. We will have some signed bits up for grabs in a raffle. And, of course, we donate a chunk of the profits from that raffle to charity. So again, if you are getting involved in all that, thank you very much in advance. But 3 weeks today, Paul, it is sneaking up on we.
Yeah, I'm just not thinking about it so that I don't shite my brakes. Which, so cheers for mentioning that it's 3 weeks away, Rondo.
Yeah, he's clearly not thinking about it because right now the notes have got nothing in them. But we'll get there. It's 3 weeks, we've got loads of time. But we are looking forward to it. 3 weeks today, so hopefully we've got a favourable game that weekend, preferably on the Saturday as well. But we'll see what happens, but really looking forward to it. Again, we do have a waiting list for tickets. If you can't go, if you need to shift your tickets on, do let us know. We can match up with someone who is looking for tickets, and don't sell them to fannies on Facebook. They say, oh, I've got tickets for sale. No, you done a hen. Bolt. Anyway, final bit of business on this day in association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee Football Club since 2006. I've only got one game, and I've got one birthday for you. The focus is on the 24th of April. A single game is from 2004. United face Rangers at Tannadice. Billy Dodds had us ahead inside the first minute before Stephen Thompson hit a double against his old team to put the visitors 2-1 ahead. We found ourselves 3-1 behind right on half-time, but whatever Jobby McCall said at half-time clearly had an effect. Jason Scotland scored on the hour, and as the match reached squeaky bum time, Scotland popped up and levelled the match in the 90th minute as it finished 3-3. I have absolutely no recollection of being at this game, and I couldn't even find a clip or a highlight to watch it back.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yep, Scotland scored both goals in the Eddie Thompson end, fairly certain.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, well, I was there.
It's like Brewster's goal at Arbroath. There's no video footage of any place. So
nothing on the archive about that.
No, there's not even a match report. I had to put that together myself.
Jeez, bizarre.
Our birthday boy then. His move to United was completed in the summer of 2012. Here's a fact, not even a Dodd Fox fact. He was ever-present through that season, but he was an ever-present right the way through into May 2014. He played 89 consecutive games for United. In total, he made 136 appearances. Radoslav Chesniak is 40 today.
Well, happy birthday to him. I think he was a half-decent keeper, but it annoys me that he came for that corner in the 2014 Scottish Cup final and got nowhere near it, because he'd done it about 3 weeks previous and nowhere near it. So, yeah, it was a dress rehearsal the first time, we just didn't know it.
But happy birthday, anyway.
Yes, happy 40th, Rado.
Right, that is it, a free week. So, I'll obviously see you in Hobbycraft. Paul will see you for selfies. Oh no, Paul's getting selfies with the players. Sorry, I'm alluding that he was getting. I'm pretty sure I seen you getting selfies in the crowd yesterday.
You didn't see me getting selfies in the crowd. No. No. Definitely didn't. And if you did, Rondo, I wouldn't admit it, but you definitely didn't.
And it's only a nobody tenner for yourself, isn't it? Is that a tenner? What do you choose?
No, I have to reduce it because nobody was wanting them. So it's a pound. It's a pound. And yes, I do charge my son for a selfie.
Why would you know? You arsehole. Of course he would.
Exactly.
You know? We're at Dawn Fox Podcast on social media. Do have a great week. Stay safe. Don't forget to wash your hands and your arsehole.